windy, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of snow in the morning, then partly cloudy by the afternoon with a high around 30. Currently we have 40 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting 36. Both of us are under rain. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 27, so bundle up if you're going out to the bus stop or you're sending the kids off to school this morning. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, stop being concerned. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, stop being concerned.
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free, long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Ha, 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 ha. Decision after decision, when people have when courts have an opportunity to take a look at the decisions that have been made by this administration, the courts continue to say, you know what, no. You know what, no. A federal judge has ordered George Bush's FEMA to resume payments to thousands of people who lost homes in Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, calling the agency's policies confusing and Kafkaesque. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon found that the federal FEMA had failed earlier this year to explain to aid recipients why they suddenly had to reapply or were no longer eligible for emergency assistance. They would send people letters. I said one thing and then send them a letter the next day that said another thing. Then you'd call. If you ever got through, nobody would know what you were talking about. It is unfortunate and if not incredible that FEMA and its council could not devise a sufficient notice system to spare these beleaguered evacuees the added burden of federal litigation to vindicate their constitutional rights. Ouch. I will translate that when I get back. Stay with me. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number. 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then. Everything the engineer would move, or the engineer wanted a bite to
eat. He let the monkey sitting on the... Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Big Brother is watching. And we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Your hearts can go their way. Can't put it on another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Judge is saying that Boy George's FEMA created rules, put out notices that not, it was so confusing that it was like this trip to hell. One letter would say one thing one day, another letter would say another thing the other day. And the judge was saying that it is just cruel that these poor people, beleaguered evacuees, as he called them, had to resort to federal litigation in order to get the assistance that they needed. It's wrong, but it is like this administration. It is like this administration. Are you better off? Are you better off after this administration? Well, let me tell you something. I want y'all to think about this. I want y'all to feel this. What does this say about us as a nation? 7 million people. 7 million people are behind bars, on probation, or on parole. That means one out of every 32 American adults are either in jail, on probation, or on parole. Talk to me about how great this nation is. And I would like for you to juxtapose those numbers. Think this just resonate my statement. One out of every 32 adults. That means if you round up 32 people randomly, 32 people, put them together and ask them, you on parole? You on probation? Or are you behind bars? I guess you're not rounding up the ones that are behind bars. Isn't that something? And then what does that say? You know the old 6 degrees of separation? You know that everybody knows everybody in the world. You're only 6 degrees away from knowing everybody. There are only 6 degrees of separation between any of us. So what does that say about how many of us know, have someone in our life on probation, parole, or in jail? 7 million Americans are behind bars. 7 million. Or are behind bars, or on parole, or on probation. What kind of nation do we live in? What kind of nation do we live in? Oh, juxtapose that about next to the amount of money that the prison industrial complex makes. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. If nobody was making money off of people being in prison, we wouldn't have that many people in prison. Women are in prison now. Not because women have gone on murdering sprees, raping sprees, assaulting sprees. No. They're in prison because of drug use. Bad checks. They didn't used to go to prison for that. They didn't used to do hard time for that. We have a prison world. We have a prison world. Mm. Mm. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you? Just beautiful day.
I am outstanding. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, prisons have became a money-making market. And the ones that's on parole, they on only parole because the system is overcrowded.
Mm.
If they had room for them, they wouldn't even be on parole.
Mm.
I met a lot of, during the election, young men coming in with other people to register, you know, to vote. And I talked to them, you going to vote? No, I can't vote. I'm on parole. You know, I'm on paper. And a lot of this paper that these people are on is just bullcrap paper. You know, they tell me prisons keep their revolving door. It's like they let you out on parole because if somebody leave the prison, they know that if you on parole, you probably won't show up for your parole officer. You in back occupying the space that somebody had already done their time. You know, look at your school system. Very little money be spent on education. Thousands of dollars are spent on in-housing prisons. And the people of this country don't really care.
Mm.
They don't really care. They don't even look at where their money going. They think it's justice, people, but a lot of it is not justice. A lot of it is money.
No, most of it is money.
Money.
Most of it is money.
And a question was asked yesterday about the insurgents. Americans are always talking about training the Iraqis. Who trains the surgeons? Have a good day, Miss Brown.
1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Carl.
Yeah, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Yes. Did you see the news where those police officers down in South County, I believe, that made a mistake, they say, that they didn't find those three family members in the house?
They made a mistake that they didn't find them?
Yeah, you know the guy that that the police officer shot.
Shot and killed.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, this morning I saw in the news where the police officers, they admitted that they made a mistake and they did not check the house for the three family members. And the three family members were in a closet.
That's right.
Somewhere. Okay, now, this is my point. I see where the police officers, they came out and they admitted a mistake. I've never seen a mistake. I mean, I've never seen the police officers anywhere make a comment when it comes down to black folks that we made a mistake.
Mm.
You see, but how in the world do you not check a house?
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm with you, Carl. How do you not check a house? Why did you think he was trying to kill you?
Right.
I mean, didn't it occur to you that, okay, y'all killed this person. Are you so stupid, so out of touch, so intellectually uncurious that maybe this person did something wrong?
Yes.
And maybe that there's something in the house that would explain why this guy behaved in this way?
Absolutely.
It's like, we killed him, let's call it a day, high five, let's go drink a burr.
That's right. They packed up and they left.
Packed up and left. They were not even curious as to what would cause this person. That's the disconnect that concerns me. The disconnect from humanity that wouldn't even raise the question of why was this guy tripping? And why did we have to kill this guy? Let's go look in the house to see if he did anything to explain his behavior. They weren't even curious about it.
That's the first thing. You know what? I'm not a police officer. I have no training. My common sense would tell me, let's go in this house, take this house apart, analyze, and see what's with this guy.
What's with the? But it's like, nope, I killed him. That's all. Done and done.
Done and done.
Done and done.
You know what? You know what? The problem here that I see throughout America is that these police officers are very incompetent. I mean, I can go back to Miss Eleanor Bumpus up in New York. That lady, it happened back in the early or late 80s. This lady was 70-something years old. Some of your listeners may recall what happened. They shot this lady in the chest. She she had a butcher knife or some type of knife in her hand. You mean to tell me that you cannot disarm a 80-year-old woman? I can do that, and I don't even have any training. These cops are cowards, incompetent, and that's what I say.
They just, how could, let's just talk about intellectual curiosity, and maybe that's just an oxymoron, okay?
Yes.
To suggest that there would be intellect or curiosity in the types of cops that just spray and kill people. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Eastbound 70 between Bryant Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge through Lindbergh, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 between Teston Ferry and Marshall, you've got slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 is slow from Butler all the way through 270 in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Southbound 55 from Poplar Street all the way through Gravois, you've got slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and River de Pere, it is slow go there. Westbound 44 at Grand, you can expect delays. Northbound 55 at Union and River de Pere, look for slow traffic there. Northbound 55 from 4500 Broadway through Potomac, it is slow as well. And westbound 5570 is slow from Tudor into the Poplar Street Bridge. And westbound Kingbridge traffic, you can expect some delays at this hour. New Halls Ferry at West Florissant, there's an accident involving a vehicle that struck a utility pole. And Page at North Warson, look for an accident there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. This holiday season, give everyone on your list Missouri Holiday Scratchers. A great gift for them and easy gift for you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and today, a winter storm warning is in effect until 9 a.m. this morning. Otherwise, blustery, much colder, showers and thunderstorms early this morning, freezing rain late in the morning and afternoon. Ice accumulation is expected around 1/4 inch. Highs will be in the mid-30s, but they'll be falling to the 20s by the afternoon. For this evening, blustery, colder, freezing rain late in the evening, sleet through the night, occasional snow in the late evening and overnight hours. Snow and sleet accumulations of 6 to 8 inches are expected. Ice accumulations of less than 1/4 inch are expected as well, with a low around 20. Then on Friday, windy, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of snow in the morning, then partly cloudy through the afternoon with a high around 30. Currently we have 40 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 36. Wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 27. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Us up next, take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, dishwashers, treadmills, tools, everything that you need. Snowblowers? How about a snowblower? Look, get on down to 3425 Union, 3425 Union. Get your shop on. It's the holiday season. I know you need to buy some things. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. Tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is Pastor Hankerson, pastor of the Life Center International Church. Starting on Sunday morning, December 3rd, you can hear the Life Center International Church broadcast at 8:15 right here on AM 920. WGNU. That's right. Starting Sunday, December the 3rd, you need to listen to the Life Center International Church broadcast, 8:15 every Sunday morning.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
That's right, gonna ride, ride, ride till I can't roll no more. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. I started the show off this morning talking about the incompetency of this administration. That when they go to court, they often, more often than not, lose. When someone takes them to court based upon the decisions that this incompetent administration has engaged in. Most recent, FEMA. One of the more recent, FEMA. Court has ordered FEMA to pay, resume Katrina payments. You want to hear another one? How about this? The Oregon lawyer who was linked by this government to the Madrid train bombings has received a written apology and $2 million from George Bush. The monetary settlement involving Brandon Mayfield comes 2 years after he was detained by our good government. They had our good government. What did they do? They misidentified his fingerprint. The stupidity of that just almost leaves me speechless. The incredulousness of that leaves me speechless. I'm making up words. It's so whacked. How do you, in the era of DNA, CSI, misidentify a fingerprint? How do you do that? How do you misidentify? If you're George Bush's administration, I guess that's how you do it. The United States acknowledges that the investigation and arrest were deeply upsetting to Mr. Mayfield, to Mrs. Mayfield, and their three children. The government said in a written statement. And then it says this chilling thing. Then it states this chilling thing. The FBI has taken steps to ensure that similar errors are not repeated. Hiring people that know how to read fingerprints? You misread a fingerprint. He got $2 million. $2 million. Brandon Mayfield has says the power of the government to secretly search your home or business without probable cause under the guise of a terrorist investigation must be stopped. Oh, did I happen to mention that Mr. Mayfield is a recent convert to Islam? Do you feel safe with your good government? Oh, y'all think that it's just if you're practicing Islam, that's where you're going to run into the problem. Trust me, baby. They're going to come after you, too. They're going to come after you, too. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yes, I want to say something. Some of your calls, and you were talking earlier about the prisoners and about the prison situation.
The fact that there are 7 million Americans behind bars on parole or on probation.
Well, I happen to be one of them, so I want to just call and make a comment real fast. Two things real fast.
Sure.
Number one, I went to jail back in 2002, did federal time, and came home. And for everybody out there, it's really double jeopardy. You know, you do your time, then you come home to 5 years paper. I have 5 years papers. And it is absolutely hard, you know, to make it out here to be on 5 years papers. Now, I've never had no violations of nothing, never dropped my dirty or urine, everything. I've been working. Now, I'm up for early release now, and my PO basically doesn't want to give it to me, you know, which is a shame. And I'm like, if I'm doing 100%, what more expect? What do you expect me to do? I think they're waiting for me and other people to fall. You know, it's a double jeopardy situation. That's number one. Number two.
So they want you to go back in so they can make money off you being in.
Thank you. And number two, I want to say one thing. If you're sure, I really wish you can, because I'm a family member of. Have you heard of the Gales Toy incident when the Gales guy, Bruce Gales, went to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that happened to be a family member of mine, and I really wish you can do a show on it and let you know how he was entrapped, you know, by the federal government. You know, this is a real, real deep situation they don't talk about. You know what really happened with that whole entrapment thing. I mean, with him.
Mm,
and
okay.
I really wish, you know, like I said, if you can, you can do a show on it.
Okay.
Because his wife would be very proud, and I myself, and we can bring the facts from. You know, from the paperwork to let you know what happened. Because Mr. Gales never was confirmed with any drugs or nothing. They just, and he's the only one remains in jail, while the so-called guy that they said was a kingpin is out on, would never went to jail. People don't understand that.
Mm.
He's the only one sitting in jail, and everybody who is supposed to be above him is out, never made $1,000 bond or never went to jail at all. That's
wow.
Very sad.
Wow.
You know, so if, like I say, in the future, if you can, you know.
Okay. All right, Tim. I will absolutely give that some consideration, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz.
Yes.
I was wondering how many parents are going to send their kids to school this morning?
I don't know.
And, you know, I'm talking about the first graders, kindergartners.
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to really have their kids standing out on the corners waiting on the buses to show up?
Because of the weather?
Yeah, and knowing that the weather's going to get worse, then they probably will close the schools early.
I saw the snow trucks out there, or the salt trucks out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any school closings out there? Do you know?
No, I haven't looked at it.
Okay, all right.
I'm just wondering about the city of St. Louis.
I understand.
Knowing, given their history of letting kids come and then closing schools early, and then the kids have to get home the best way they can.
Okay. We'll pay attention to that, okay?
All right. Have a great day, Liz.
You too. Bye. Please don't forget that the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is December 15th. We have a volunteer meeting Friday at 6 o'clock at Irene J. Smith's place right there at Union and 70, the White House there. Come on down to the volunteer meeting. You can start bringing your blankets to the station now. The station is 265 Union, or save them for dropping them off on December 15th. Look how bad the weather is just going to turn right now. We need to get these blankets, folks. We're looking for the $5 blankets out here. You can get them at the dollar store. You can get them at Kmart. You can get them all around the city. $5 blankets. We got Howard gave up $20 yesterday. That's 4 blankets. And then Peter Downs gave up $20 too for another 4 blankets. Come on, y'all. We can get this going. We can do this. The Wake Up Call 3rd Annual Blanket Drive is on December 15th, of course, at George Washington Carver House. And then the next day, of course, we deliver the blankets. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Woman Maxine Waters, no matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the 3rd annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Understand my words might never explain, so I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you plan, dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, but get to me. I'm looking at three different newspapers. One is the Financial Times. And I need to talk to you, and I'm going to do that in the 9 o'clock hour, about what is happening with the dollar. The front page of the Financial Times, U.S. dollar weakens, continues to weaken. Okay? Then I'm looking at the front page of the money section of USA Today. Huge story from yesterday. Prices of existing homes plummet. Dip in mortgage rates helped sales to its first gain in 6 months. Home prices are falling all over the country. They fell 3.5% and they will continue to drop. Then this was a fairly big article, top of the fold. Then in today's USA Today, teeny tiny article. New home sales tumble. Sales of new homes fell in October by the largest amount in 3 months, a fresh sign of the cooling of the once hot housing market. Oh, did I mention that job fears dent consumer confidence? Consumer confidence fell in November as Americans' pessimism about the job market grew. Tell me again how great we're doing out here. Is there any coinkydink that there are 7 million Americans in jail? One out of every 35 Americans is in jail, on probation, or on parole. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Liz, hi. This is Arlene Thomas.
Arlene, good morning.
Oh, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I really wanted to point something out. I think I've called and mentioned this, but, you know, you have some kind of new audiences. Maybe they didn't hear before, but in, you know, times of difficulty, people will sometimes do things they normally wouldn't. And one of them I'm thinking about is you get a car and you've got a temporary tag. You know, let's say that your tag is up on the 11th and you really don't have the money, so you change that 1 to a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it used to be, you know, if they stopped you, they'd give you a ticket for alternate temp tag. Usually it was in the municipal court. Now, Liz,
it's a felony.
Charging them as a, it always, I guess, could have been charged as a felony, but they really didn't, because it's altering a document that you then pretend is genuine. Another instance.
But wait a minute, let's talk about that. Let's just talk about that for 1 second, Arlene, so people can feel this. This is now if you do this, you will have a felony on your record that will impact your ability to get a job. And we're talking about, and we're not talking about the type of crime. I don't think that this is the type of crime that should follow you and haunt you for the rest of your life.
Well, I'll give you another example. Young man out of work, needs to renew the license, needs to provide proof of insurance, gets a false document from somebody and says, hey, man, I can, you know, do you one up on the computer. Unfortunately, the person who made it spelled the name of the insurance company wrong.
Mm.
So when the young man presented it, you know, again, because it was presented as genuine, now you're looking at a Class C felony.
A Class C felony.
Of course, these type of cases, I mean, you know, and I know, the person who has no priors will generally get probation. They'll get an SIS. But what happens now for all of those people out there with SIS is they often only hear the fact that they don't have a conviction. But more and more employers and other agencies are going beyond the question of have you ever been convicted of a felony. They will then ask, well, have you ever pled guilty to a felony or misdemeanor? Have you ever been on probation or parole? So even people with a suspended imposition of sentence, which is called an SIS, they can say, no, I've never been convicted, but then they have to answer yes to those other questions. So, you know, and people who don't show up in court. I'm a municipal judge in Wellston. I'd rather you show up in court and say, hey, I really don't have it. Very seldom, even though the judges may rant and rave, will they lock a person up. Now, I'm not saying that some won't, but when you don't show up, now you've got a warrant hanging over your head. You know, and it just sort of snowballs from that point. So, you know, if you don't have the insurance, if your tag runs out, get a ticket for having an outdated tag. That's a municipal violation. For God's sake, don't alter that tag, because now you're putting yourself into that category of another person. And generally, these are people who've never committed any kind of crime.
Right.
They're just people
right.
who are financially strapped. They're desperate. and they just figure, well, I'm just going to change.
And they figure, I don't want to get pulled over for not having the right tags on.
And let me give you one more caveat. If you have a temporary tag and you don't have insurance, you can also get a ticket because then the temporary tag is considered not to be valid.
Wow.
So you've got to have your liability insurance.
Wow.
So it's just a constant, you know, you have to be constantly on the lookout. I'm no different from anyone else. You just kind of always got to be on the lookout. And then one final thing, if you're ever pulled over in a field sobriety, you know, in one of those, you know, where they pit stops, where they stop you checkpoints, for God's sake, if they ask you to take a breathalyzer, if you're a complete teetotaler, if you've never even had a drink in your entire life, don't refuse to take the breathalyzer, because if you refuse, that is an automatic 1-year suspension because you refused.
That's just,
have nothing to be doing with drugs.
That is so insane. Refused. That is so insane. Oh, okay. Thank you.
People have to be ever vigilant and just on the watch out.
Thank you so much, Earlene.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I have a quick comment about that lawsuit. $2 million was not enough.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. And you're talking about the lawsuit that was won by the the man who is practicing Islam, Brandon Mayfield. The government, this administration picked him up, accused him of being a terrorist. They screwed up his fingerprint and misidentified it as him. I don't believe it was a misidentification. I believe that it was intentional. They were trying to harass him. They wanted to go in and bully him. And they're going to, and George Bush's administration is going to pay this man $2 million and he's received a written apology. And you're right, it's not enough.
I would have George W. take a grammar test. But I don't think that would work.
We know about his grammar. Let's have him take a lie detector.
Oh, that'll work.
All right, Marco. Thank you so much.
Michael.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. Bye bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. Andrew.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
It's called capitalistic slavery. Any way to harass you for money.
Mm.
Any kind of way possible. Without your vote.
Mm. All right.
I still need that right to vote, please.
You still need the right to vote?
Yeah. I'm still looking for that right to vote. Till I get the right to vote, they can't have no power over me by any type of law I can't vote for.
I don't understand what that means, but I hear you.
Right.
Okay, 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Please don't forget, put it on your calendar. The Wake Up Call 3rd Annual Blanket Drive is December 15th. Well, I pick up and drop off here at the station. We're asking everybody to go out and get those $5 blankets. If you can't get the blankets, please donate so that we can go out and get the blankets and deliver them on the 16th of December. You can even, if you can't drop them off on the 15th, the day of the blanket drive, please feel free to start dropping them off at the station here at 265 Union. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Eye on the Lou is next. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop being dismayed.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made.
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush heading back to Washington after a meeting with the Iraqi Prime Minister. The get-together a day later than planned. Mr. Bush and Nouri al-Maliki agree the sooner Iraq takes control of security, the better.
Iraq is for Iraqis, and its borders will be sound, and we will not allow anybody to violate these borders or interfere in our internal affairs.
But the president says the U.S. won't rush to get out.
There's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done, so long as the government wants us there.
ABC News has learned that the bipartisan Iraq study group is not suggesting a timetable for the U.S. troops to leave. Rather, it's recommending a gradual pullback. What's up with the weather? It feels more like January in parts of the West. Meteorologist Lloyd Lindsay Young with ABC radio affiliate KGO in San Francisco.
Basically, what's happening is the jet stream is very unusual for this time of the year. It's right out of the northeast, and this has caused Arctic air to spill over the normally protective continental divide, and that's why places like Seattle had up to 15 inches of snow a few days ago, and that's why record-breaking cold is being felt over the entire West.
It feels more like spring across the East Coast. The high today in New York City will be near 70. They said it wouldn't be bad. It would be bad, I should say. It wasn't, though, and today the 2006 Atlantic hurricane season comes to an end. Jerry Bell with the National Hurricane Center says it's really never over,
though. We're still in an active hurricane era, and that means we can continue to expect high levels of hurricane activity and, unfortunately, high levels of hurricane landfalls for many years to come.
By the numbers, 9 named storms, 5 hurricanes, and the only one that came anywhere close to the U.S. fizzled out. Pope Benedict held a joint ceremony with the leader of the world's Orthodox Christians. It's part of his trip to Turkey. The Pope has been working to reunite the two churches. This is ABC News.
Honey, remember how I felt after swing dancing?
Well, you got a pain reliever for your arthritis pain.
That wasn't as bad as trying tennis.
When you got something just for a sore shoulder.
But I'm done taking different pain relievers. Now I'm all Advil.
Mm-hmm.
It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain.
So what are we waiting for? Let's dance.
I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers for minor arthritis pain, use as directed.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, 75% off and more in every department. Guitars, drums, keyboards, recording, live sound, and DJ gear. All at the guaranteed lowest price in the nation. And take advantage of special no-payment, no-interest financing for a full year on purchases of $299 or more. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's Give Gear, Make Music Savings event is going on now. Don't miss it.
It was a close call for a trainer at SeaWorld in San Diego. The whale he'd been working with for years grabbed his foot and pulled him underwater twice. This woman was in the audience.
I've got grandchildren here and all the other people, and everybody's just, you know, just dead quiet. not knowing what to think, what to do.
Some other trainers rushed to the man's rescue. He's all right, but he did have a few minor injuries. Well, it's not official, but the signs are there. A royal wedding could be in the works.
People who make the memorabilia for royal weddings have already started churning out William and Kate memorabilia. The thing that is at issue here is the Queen has apparently invited Kate to spend Christmas with the royal family. That, apparently, is a big deal. In the past, she's had a no girlfriends, no boyfriends rule. She's broken that.
Well, it looks like another one's off the market, ladies. That's ABC's Nick Watt in London. And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the exact cause of a fatal fire at a University of Missouri St. Louis fraternity house is under investigation. Bob Samples, a spokesperson for the university, says the university hasn't decided what action it can take to prevent a similar tragedy because they have no direct oversight of the off-campus Greek houses.
And they are owned and operated by the fraternities themselves, not the university. It's different than if they were university properties.
25-year-old Brian Schlittler was killed when the fire broke out yesterday morning at the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity house. Two other fraternity members in the house escaped without injury. The Missouri Department of Transportation is preparing for today's winter storm with more than 200 trucks and 500 personnel. MoDOT spokesperson Tom Miller says it's important that motorists be prepared for the roadways by staying at least 500 feet away from trucks. The National Weather Service is calling for freezing rain and snow today, continuing into tomorrow. Finally this hour, grocery and hardware store shoppers are gearing up for St. Louis's first winter storm. Shoppers were in abundance at Brannecke's True Value Hardware on St. Charles Rock Road yesterday to buy ice control-related products. Owner Jack Brannecke says potassium chloride, which is much better on grass and concrete than rock salt, has been very popular this year. Grocery shoppers were also out yesterday picking up staple items such as bread, eggs, and milk. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's instant tickets, 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sudafed PE. Eastbound 64 at 25th. There's an accident that's been cleared. Expect delays. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and Mid Rivers. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge and Lindbergh. Look for stop and go traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40. Traffic is slowing from Clarkson through Mason and then again Spady through Lindbergh. Westbound 270 at 367 in New Florissant. Look for delays. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and River de Pere. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 from Green Park through River de Pere. It is slow. And northbound 55 from Potomac all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 on into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit on into Laclede's Landing, you can expect delays there as well. Northbound Route 3 is slow at the top of the ramp. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and 5570 merge. Look for slow there. Edsel at Skinker, there's an injury accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sudafed PE. Sinus misery, get Sudafed PE. The medicine in Sudafed PE is clinically shown to relieve nasal congestion in minutes. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and a winter storm advisory is in effect for today until 9 a.m. Otherwise, blustery, mostly colder today. Showers and thunderstorms early, freezing rain late and early afternoon, and then rain late as well. The ice accumulation is expected around a quarter of an inch. The highs will be in the mid-30s, but they'll be falling into the 20s by this afternoon. This evening, blustery, colder, freezing rain in the evening, sleet throughout the night, and occasional snow in the late evening and overnight hours. Snow accumulation is expected around 6 to 8 inches. Ice accumulation is expected to be about a quarter of an inch or so. The low should be around 20. Then on Friday, windy, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers in the morning, then partly cloudy throughout the afternoon, a high around 30. Currently we have 35 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 36. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 27. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. Eye on the Lose up next. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knockdown dragouts at the...
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown, and it is Thursday, and that means that I am here with Irene J. Smith. Good morning, Irene J. Smith.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
And it just seems like, Irene, we just get out of one election season and get into another election season. There's no rest for the politically weary. We got kind of a scoop out here. And you know what? Wait a minute. Can I take a trip down memory lane here. Didn't we start off the political season when we had the senatorial race talking about a push-pull?
Yes, we
with
did.
Jeff Smith, a push-pull that he vehemently denied having anything to do with, but I'm not inclined to believe him. We talked about a push-pull, and let's remind our listeners what a push-pull is.
Go right ahead, Liz.
Oh, no, I was asking you to remind our listeners.
It's when someone calls you and they're trying to push certain aspects of either themselves or another person. So they will ask questions that actually they're trying to plant a seed.
Mm-hmm.
They're out to get information, but they're actually really trying to plant a seed,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's kind of like what we call in the legal world a leading question.
A leading question.
You know, and trying to, like, plant a seed of, like, basically, well, in the case of the senatorial election with Yaphet El-Amin, the Jeffrey Smith push-pull was asking people about how they felt about Muslims.
Right.
Okay. It's our understanding. We're going to talk about a push-pull, another push-pull that probably will be vehemently denied as well, but yet you have these people that are on the phone with these people that are taking these questions down. Let's talk about that when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Join members of the Rams, Cardinals, and Blues and local media personalities at the second annual karaoke event to benefit the Missouri Adoption Exchange on Monday, December 4th. The event will take place at Bernie Federko's downtown. Guests are invited to join in the karaoke fun or just be entertained by the stars on stage. For more info, call 314-291-3313 or visit karaokechallenge.org. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I am here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about another push-pull in anticipation of an election in March. We're talking about the election of the president of the Board of Aldermen. We talked a little bit about the push-pull that took place in the last senatorial race. Another one's coming down the pike. Why don't you share with us, Irene, some of the questions that came out of this push-pull?
It's obvious that this is a push poll that was conducted on behalf of Shrewsbury, mm-hmm. the president of the Board of Aldermen, by a Florida-based company, and it's being conducted apparently primarily in South St. Louis mm-hmm. At this point. First of all, they give you this information about Lewis Reed, and they ask you whether or not you would view it as favorable. You know, they talk about allegedly that his cell phone number is unlisted.
And let's stop just for a second. The question that they tell people before they ask their opinion about anything is that, did you know that, they may not use that tone, did you know, but they say that, did you know that Lewis Reed has no listed phone number? What do you think is the intention behind sharing that particular piece of information?
You know, it's like he's a private person. He's not going to be accessible. I think that would go to mine, mm-hmm. Even though the fact that his number, as I recall, is published at the Board of Aldermen. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get his home number at the Board of Aldermen. And but I think that's what it's trying to push.
Okay.
I think it's trying to push that, you know, he doesn't have a listed telephone number. He's a private person. He's not going to be able to be accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to reach him.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is, certainly constituents do call you at home, but for the most part, they call you at the Board of Aldermen. And then this is interesting. He says he favored giving away parkland, and this is alluding to the BJC.
Mm-hmm.
Anticipated move to obtain a larger lease, you may as well own it for 99 years, on a parkland adjacent to the hospital. And to my understanding, I mean, I have not even heard that he has taken a position on that,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. But anyway, it's telling you that he favors giving it away.
So these are the leading statements that the pollster is telling the person before they began to ask questions about that.
I mean, it's kind of like a characterization.
Right.
Like, did you know? You know, so
he has
you
no
say,
listed phone number. Did you know that he favors giving away parkland? Did you know what the
did you know? This is a good one. Did you know he's an African American?
And here's the interesting piece is Lewis Reed doesn't necessarily in some people's mind, say that you are Freeman Bosley says, okay, that's a black person. Okay, Lewis Reed, they want to begin to make the citizens aware. You know he's black, don't you?
You know he's black, don't you? I mean, of course, if you look at Lewis, it's very obvious.
He's black.
You know, and us being very close in hue and him being close to my father's real dark color, so it's obvious that he's. So what's the purpose of this? Did you know he's an African American? Keep in mind, again, this is the Shrewsbury. President of the Board of Aldermen, the same Shrewsbury that took offense to some African American children coming from a school and not treating them very nicely. Did you know that he would be the first African American president of the Board of Aldermen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then they go, he's a developer.
He's too close to the judge. He's too close to the mayor. You know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. You know, he's too loose giving away important tax money for development. Now, this is the president who sits on ENA,
mm-hmm.
who gets to vote on either yay or nay, but he's pushing, you know, he's forming the image.
Mm-hmm.
He's attempting to form the image of who Lewis Reed is. And this is interesting. He has no citywide experience. Well, neither did you when you
exactly.
first ran.
Shrewsbury didn't have any citywide experience before he ran for president of the Board of Aldermen, nor did Francis Slay before he ran for, or what he was
president.
He ran for it, but he had no.
He had nobody does before
most,
they
most
do
of
it.
The time before you run for a citywide office, you don't have the experience.
I mean, all the only experience that Shrewsbury had is representing the 16th ward, which is certainly one of the more promising wards for some people in the city.
Well, let's talk about.
So he didn't have any experience either.
But wait a minute, the 16th ward, really, out of all of the wards in the city, is the St. Louis
least challenging.
Well, not that's the least challenging. It is the most unlike most of the wards in the city of St. Louis. It is the least Democratic in terms of Democratic voters. There are a whole lot more Republicans in that ward than perhaps in any other ward, or maybe there may be one or two wards that are close to that, but it represents less most of the people in the city of St. Louis. Exactly. So if we're going to talk about representation, look at the ward that Shrewsbury came from.
Exactly. And then this is interesting. He says he is endorsed by Lacey Clay. Now, that's news to me. So what's relevant about that? Of course, Lacey Clay is one thing. Say, did you know Lacey Clay was black?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says he favors giving away tax money for the Ballpark Village. Okay. Hadn't heard that, but Shrewsbury certainly, you know, remember we had this big Ballpark Village and the Ballpark Stadium. I mean, Shrewsbury was right on board with that. Very interesting.
And then what is interesting also is it goes to questions about Shrewsbury. Do you view the following favorably? That's the question that was asked of the person that took this phone that was called by this Florida company with this push poll that is favoring Shrewsbury.
You know, and this is really interesting to me that Shrewsbury sponsored and passed legislation to keep drugs and prostitution away from the schools. Give me a break. First of all, legislation of that sort has been on the books forever. So you pass a little ordinance to that effect. I mean,
but
you know,
didn't Lewis Reed
vote for that?
Vote for this?
I don't know when Shrewsbury is saying that he sponsored and passed this legislation. Okay, because first of all, you're not supposed to have drugs anywhere. It's illegal to have drugs anywhere. It's illegal for prostitutes to be anywhere. So okay, big deal. Now then, this is the key part right here. Sponsored and passed legislation for the Citizen Review Board.
That's a lie.
You know, it's like, how do you view this? He certainly, in the end, voted for it.
After he counted all the votes.
Right. After he said, okay, they got enough votes. And then this is the guy who he will not say, I'm going to stand up and fight with you for an issue on principle. You got to count, got to stay back.
But wait.
Count the votes. They had enough votes to pass the legislation, and then he jumps on board.
But isn't it true, Irene, that not only does he do just as you said, but he tells people, I'm going to see, and then I'm going to vote.
Exactly.
I'm going to see. He's told people, if my vote will be the difference between a yes or no, you're not going to get my vote. But if I count the votes and see that that the votes are going a certain way, then you'll get my vote.
Right. But more important than that, Liz, more important than that, he has said
Shrewsbury,
if there is a vote on the Board of Aldermen, and the way he has these the committee structured, you know, almost 50-50 north and south, I will not be the decisive vote if it is split along racial lines. So it doesn't matter about the principle
or the issue,
but if it is split along racial lines, I won't go to work on my colleagues to try to convince them that this is the right thing to do. I just will stay out of it.
And therefore the legislation will fail.
That's right.
So the bottom line is that the legislation will fail under the leadership. This is the type of leadership that Jim Shrewsbury is proud to be part of. He tells people this, I will make a decision. It will not be me that makes a decision if it comes down along racial lines. Woo, that's the type of leader that you need, isn't it?
Right, very, very good.
Because underneath that is that I'm not going to say or do anything to piss off any white people. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, we're going to be getting to this with this next question. You know, it's like, man, how long now? I've been away from city government since 2005. And yet I'm still part of a lot of things. And so you know what the next question is. Do you think that Shrewsbury handled the Smith urination issue appropriately? Okay, now here's a man who basically, if you go run the tape, and I do have the tape, so maybe it will be ran, looked like he was totally out of control, didn't know how to handle the situation, and didn't act appropriately and in accordance with what we normally do in those situations.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. The question is, do you think that Shrewsbury handled the Smith urination issue appropriately? I think that this is a hugely significant question because the people that are handling Shrewsbury's campaign recognize, Irene, that there are a lot of people out there that are irritated with him, that have judged his ability for leadership and have judged it poorly because of how he handled that. And I think it would probably be a very helpful thing for that, for how he handled that, maybe we can get that up on YouTube.
Yes.
Maybe we can get that up on YouTube so that people can see for themselves how, first of all, how lawless he behaved, how racistly he behaved, how intolerantly he behaved, and also the absence of leader, his ability to, because he could have fixed that whole situation. He could have, because, and he was supposed to as president of the board.
He had absolutely no control. Not only that, he did not have a working knowledge of the rules.
There you go.
Then he orchestrated a situation with Conway from the 8th Ward, whereas they said that even though Alderman Bosley at the time that I was attempting to go off the floor had the floor. I had yielded the floor to Alderman Bosley, who was talking and answering a question. Yet, there's another tape the next time we are in session where Conway is not even on the floor. And he is recognizing him. He continuously calls his name, even though he's not there.
And I think that, and again, this is a push-pull that has been commissioned for a firm out of Florida to call people on the South Side, a push-pull that is supportive of Shrewsbury, that is laying the seeds of race, that is laying the seeds of this, really mostly about race in the questions that they're asking and the responses that they're attempting to get and the impressions that they are attempting to leave.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, you know, because basically Shrewsbury has been a member of the Board of Aldermen, and supposedly they say, I don't know, they say that he practices probate law.
Okay, we're going to be back. I'm talking to Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Loose. Stay with us. We're not done.
Good morning, St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road in Mid-Rivers. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to Lindbergh. Stop and go. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 is slowing from Clarkson to Mason and then again from Spady through Lindbergh. Westbound 270 from 367 into New Florissant. Delays are possible and probable. Northbound 55 from Green Park through River de Pere is slow, and again from Potomac through the Poplar Street Bridge is slow in both directions. 170 between 70 and the airport, look for delays. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got delays. Westbound 40 between Ballast and Broomstick, look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Hampton to Van Deventer, it is slow go. 370 eastbound at the Discovery Bridge all the way to St. Louis Mills, it is slow. Basically, it's just slow everywhere. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge are very heavy at this hour. It is raining out there, and we're having some freezing rain and freezing drizzles. So just slow down and take your time and expect delays getting to work this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3-day, 2-night hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, winter storm warning is in effect until 9 a.m. this morning. Otherwise, much colder, blustery showers and thunderstorms early this morning, freezing rain by late morning and afternoon. Ice accumulation is about a quarter of an inch as expected. High will be in the mid-30s, but it will be dropping into the 20s by the afternoon. This evening, blustery, colder, freezing rain in the evening, sleet throughout the evening, snowfall late in the evening and overnight as well. Snow accumulations are expected around 6 to 8 inches, ice accumulations about a quarter of an inch, with a low around 20. Then on Friday, windy, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of snow in the morning, then partly cloudy by the afternoon with a high around 30. Currently, we have 34 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 34 as well. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 25. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and Irene J. Smith. Eye on the Loo. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. That's up next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Paula Sala is a real GEICO customer, not an actor. So to help tell her story, we hired that announcer guy from the movies.
When the storm hit, both our cars were totally underwater.
In a world where both of our cars were totally underwater,
we thought it would take forever to get some help.
But a new wind was about to blow.
With GEICO, we had our check in 2 days.
Payback. This time, it's for real.
GEICO. Real service, real savings.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. My name is Liz Brown. Irene, Blanket Drive coming up on December 15th. You got any shout-outs? You have any throwdowns you want to put on people for getting some blankets for the Blanket Drive for December 15th?
Throwdown.
Yeah.
I challenge.
All right.
Former colleagues at the Board of Aldermen, at least one of which I'm not talking too favorably about today, to 100 blankets each.
Okay, 100 blankets.
100 blankets each, you know, $500.
Okay, you can do that.
You can do that. $500. Blankets, 100 blankets. Go to the businesses in your community. Get them involved. I mean, this is for those less fortunate in our community. We have blankets all over the city. We not only went downtown and sought out our homeless sisters and brothers in frequented areas, but we also provided churches, Carver House, a lot of grandparents that have their children, heating bills, kind of keep the furnace down, you know, so, you know, they're wrapping up in blankets to stay warm.
And the cool thing about this is that they're new blankets.
You know, we used to say gently used, but people say, hey, it's
$5 for a blanket.
$5 for a blanket. And these are nice blankets.
Yes, they are.
Very nice blankets.
Yes,
and
they are.
We had blankets. We had queen size, king size.
Yes, we did.
We had blankets for the little ones, for little kids.
Baby blankets.
Yes, we had all of this. And so this is an opportunity to give. Unfortunately, you know, people just get into the giving this time of the year. Of course, others give all times, and that is not publicized. But this is an event that we have to publicize to get an opportunity to participate and to have blankets for our sisters and brothers. So I challenged my former colleagues at the Board of Aldermen. I challenged the First Ward to have at least 100 blankets. I know you're listening, Charles Quincy Troop. I know you're listening, Alderman Troop. We need to get those blankets. 100 blankets from each ward.
There you go.
It's 28 wards in the city.
There you go.
All participated, man.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be great.
That would truly be warming hearts all over St. Louis.
That would be warming hearts all over this city.
Very good. And that's December 15th. We're going to have pickup and drop off here at the station. We're going to have pickup and drop off. We're going to have pickup drop off at Carver House. And there's a meeting for our volunteers tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the White House. And that address is 4919 North Union. That's Irene J. Smith's headquarters there, Union and 70. We need you volunteers. We need you volunteers because we can't do this if we don't have
without
the volunteers.
So despite the weather, just think of it like this, because the weather is likely to be inclement tomorrow. But just think of it like this. Our sisters and brothers, many of which who are out on the street, have to find shelter. You will not have to stand outside in the elements.
Looking for somewhere warm.
And in fact, it's warm. I mean, the furnace is working.
It's kicking.
So come on. We need your help. This is so small an opportunity of giving, but it's an opportunity to give. So don't miss it.
There you go. That's December 15th. And if you can't drop off on the 15th, please feel free to come by the station and start dropping your blankets off. That's 265 Union. We're on the 13th floor. But put it on your calendar. The 15th is when you drop them off. And the 16th, Irene, we're going to be in the street handing them out.
That's right. And last year they went so fast.
Yes, they did.
I mean, we had a rent-a-car, big truck.
Yes, we did.
Full of blankets.
And we had Reverend Brown, who also brought his big old truck.
Exactly.
And we filled that truck
up. Filled that up.
And remember the line that we had of people stretched out as we were passing the blankets from Carver House into the van. It was a magical thing.
So we need you. Get on the phone. Call your friends. Call your family. Say, hey, each family, I challenge my family.
There we go.
You know, just get on the phone. Call people and say, look, hey, we got to get some blankets down there to help our less fortunate sisters and brothers.
Excellent. So let's get back to our topic today, this push-pull by a company out of Florida on behalf of James Shrewsbury. The one I think that's really interesting is that, do you think that Shrewsbury is an independent voice willing to go against the mayor? What do you make of that one?
Well, he wasn't an independent voice willing to go against the mayor during redistricting that deprived our community of the most democratic ward in North St. Louis. It deprived us of fair representation in this city. In fact, I personally went to him and I said, look, this is your opportunity to exercise real leadership. But of course, you have to have some semblance of a backbone to do that. And he failed to do that. Now he is trying. This is what he's trying to push himself off as. I'm the independent voice. I'm willing to stand up to the mayor on issues. Look at all the key issues.
Where was he on the school issue, Irene J. Smith? Was he an independent voice on behalf of
I guess he was behind the scenes making sure that his wife kept her job.
There you go.
Where has he been on the school issue? Totally. I mean, you're a citywide elected official. So, the president of the Board of Aldermen, no, you don't have much impact on the boards, but you are in a position where you can at least speak out on something. And you could...
Wait a minute. There were resolutions taken to the St. Louis Board of Aldermen about school issues, and he was not behind those resolutions.
No, he was not. In fact, he was part of an orchestration to block them from getting to hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the firefighters' issues?
Firefighters' issues. You know, on some of those issues, Shrewsbury has not stood up and fought for. As I said, if you have your votes, if you manage to get your votes, he'll be with you. But on principled issues in terms of standing up and taking the leadership role, you know, where was he on? Let's talk about the baseball, since he brought it up as part of his push-pull. You know, go back. Shrewsbury was on board with the ballpark stadium deal, you know, despite the fact he knew the citizens of this city did not want to subsidize that. Shrewsbury was jumping right on board, right next to the mayor, trying to, you know, nudge and not wanting to criticize Darlene because she had raised some issues relative to the stadium, but he was right on board with him. I mean, just look at the major issues. Shrewsbury has been there,
and if he's
right there in lockstep with the mayor. He was in lockstep with the mayor on redistricting. Right there, lockstep. All he was concerned about was whether or not Rhodey would get an extra block that he wanted in his ward. But when it came to fair representation for the entire city, and particularly the African-American community, Shrewsbury sided with the mayor.
So when we talk about the independent voice, where is it? Because an independent means somebody that's going to stand up and say something about an issue, irrespective of how the votes are going to fall.
Exactly.
This, we're talking about a calculating politician that wants to make certain that he will never alienate or cause any disturbance with his white base.
I will submit to you that the times that he has, say for an example, voted with the comptroller against the mayor, it was calculated, mm-hmm. okay? And it was designed to be, for him to be in the position to say, look, I'm an independent voice. But look at those big issues. That's what you look at.
And also, you also look at the political ambition.
Yes, you do.
Shrewsbury wants to be mayor of the city of St. Louis. So, of course, he's going to attempt to try to say that I'm not like Francis Slay, because he may eventually be running against Francis Slay.
Right. Now, I'm going to tell you, quite frankly, I doubt that. He's going to wait to see if Slay's going to want to move on to something else, because he definitely...
But he'll be running against Slay's record.
Yes, he will.
He'll be running against
record. Yes, he will. But again, you know, independent voice. And then there's other general questions.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Yeah. We will get to that one. I am here with Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Lou. We'll be back. Stay with us. Have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You need a big screen television? They got them. You need a little DVD player? They got those too. They have every single thing and great deals and great location. 3425 Union, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get on down there and get your shop on.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Dubai. An internet posting by an Iraqi militant group is calling on Sunnis in Baghdad to wage a holy war against Shiite militias in a battle of destiny. The statement was posted by the Islamic Army on a key Islamist website. The group has taken responsibility for several attacks on U.S. troops serving in Iraq and the kidnapping of some foreigners. The posting to the Sunni population went on to say that, quote, Baghdad is your city. Do not leave it for the strangers who intend to expel you. It is a battle of destiny now, to be or not to be. The Islamic Army had previously limited calls for jihad against occupation forces in Iraq. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Hi.
This is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am here with Irene J. Smith because it is I on the Loo, and we're looking at this push-pull sponsored by a Florida, conducted by a Florida company on behalf of Jim Shrewsbury. This race for the president of the Board of Aldermen is a big deal, isn't it, Irene? This is a very important election for the city of St. Louis,
yes,
and particularly if it comes down to two candidates, a black candidate and a white candidate.
It's very critical because keep in mind, and people need to really think about this, redistricting, I'm going to tell you what the plan is on the table to wipe out two north side wards, okay? So we need to have someone that is in position, first of all, to structure committees in a fair way to provide fair representation for the city, not something that's partial to North St. Louis, but all we ask for is the level playing field. Give us our fair share. Give us, as I was talking to my alderman last night, we all deserve a piece of the pie that we contribute to. And that is all that we ask for. You know, we don't want somebody who is patronizing us, as Shrewsbury has done. You know, I have to say this, Liz. He attends my mother's church. My mother's Catholic. He had the nerve to tell her, he asked about me and said he thinks about me often. I bet he does.
Well, he does think about it. It's like, what am I going to have to do to make sure that people don't remember her when I'm trying to run for this election? And, in fact, I think about your daughter so much that I hired this company to do this push-pull, put your daughter's name up in a way that gets me votes. That's how he thinks to you.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
That just makes me so sick to see people. It's like the story that was in the paper today about how George Bush asked George Allen, George Allen has a 24-year-old son in Iraq, and George Bush said, how's your son doing? You know, ain't that some stuff? You put my son in Iraq, I beat your macaca boy, and you asking me how my son is. And Allen said to him, the people need to be out of Iraq. And George Bush said, that's not the question I asked you. And then Allen said, well, the relationship between me and my son is between me and my son. These fake people like Shrewsbury asking your mama about how you doing.
Well, you know, and I know he has. I mean, it's obvious. You go back a little history, and I'm going to do a little history on the comments he made when I decided to run against Francis Slay in 05. But the interesting general question, they asked, would it be favorable if Darlene Green endorsed either candidate? Darlene Green, I mean, here's a sister that has stood up, you know, no doubt against certain things relative to financial issues, which he is responsible for. I think he was planning to have Darlene in, as part of his support base.
That's right.
You know, I'm hopeful that if she does not feel comfortable coming out for Louis Reed, that she will remain neutral.
Stand down. She just needs to stay out of it.
I mean, just as she stayed out of my race when
right.
I ran against
right.
a Slay,
mm-hmm.
Just as she didn't endorse either Slay or I, even, you know.
Well, she didn't endorse in Jamila's race. Okay, she didn't endorse. She didn't endorse in a lot of races. She stood out of a lot of races.
I mean, it's like she has really, and you know, some people criticize her for it, but Darlene has focused on her responsibilities as comptroller.
Didn't do that.
And that is what I would like her to continue to do, and not to break that mold at this point. She's been a very good comptroller.
Mm-hmm.
She has focused on the financial issues for this city, and I think tried very hard to make decisions. And, you know, as when you make decisions, everybody's not going to like the decisions
that's
that you
right.
make. But I believe that she has tried to make decisions that were in the best interest of this city financially.
And with respect to her position as comptroller, she has stood up and made some fearless decisions.
Yes,
she
has.
She really has. And that's why it's even more important that, okay, since we know that you do focus on your thing and we know that you do choose to stay out of different races, then if you're not going to endorse or go with Louis Reed, then you need to really stand down on this.
And then the issue needs to be also, you know, to... for Louis is that, number one, we're concerned about this entire city,
mm-hmm.
okay? Anything that affects one part of the city, for real, we're seeing it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen it with this crime thing that we're going to discuss in detail next week.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it more and more how this is impacting our entire city. So as I said, I know people are trying to draw her in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a decision.
Mm-mm.
I know people are trying to do some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well,
look
at this push-pull to include Darlene. Because what my concern is that Shrewsbury is going to come back and bring this to Darlene and say, look, people said it matters what you say on this. I need your support. I need you to stand next to me on this. And Shrewsbury didn't stand next to any black person on the redistricting issue. He was totally absent when we had people. Because Francis Slay doesn't have any power in the St. Louis schools either, right? Technically.
No, he doesn't, but he was there.
But he was there.
Other than naming who does the audit
mm-hmm.
for the St. Louis School Board, which is under state statute, and other than appointing anyone where there's a vacant seat before the term expires, okay, he can appoint that individual. Yet, mom was the word.
Shrewsbury.
And keep in mind, when we hold certain positions, sometimes it is incumbent upon us to at least speak out on, to get information on, because of the fact that you can, you know, you can get the press to come, you can get the attention.
You have the bully pulpit.
Yes, you do. You have it.
And you know, the piece of this is that, okay, so if we're going to analyze your leadership abilities, because that is what we are supposed to do, given what this race is about, we're supposed to analyze your leadership abilities. You have a wife that works for the St. Louis Public Schools. So you put the question is, did you put your own personal concerns ahead of the concerns of hundreds of thousands of children in the city of St. Louis, hundreds of thousands of parents and children in the city of St. Louis? Where were you when Roberti was being paid $7 million to raid our district? Where were you when Slay's administration had, you're an independent dude? Where were you when there were five different superintendents during the course of two short years? Where were you when the accreditation points dropped over 23 points? Where were you on those issues? Independent? Where's the evidence of that?
Where were you when our community was deprived of resources, because redistricting didn't just move a ward, the 20th ward, to South St. Louis and
That's
deprive
correct.
Us of political representation.
And then create another brand new ward.
And create another ward in South St. Louis. It took resources.
That's exactly right.
Because, as you remember, the halves and sales tax money, that money followed it.
Mm-hmm.
The block grant money, it followed it.
Followed.
Okay? The public works money,
follow
it. That's work that's money that came out of our community. Where was Jim Shrewsbury then? He was where he always is. He was in his safe spot.
Non-leadership,
following the role of Francis Slay.
How many years to the next redistricting?
Next redistricting is in, let's see, 2011.
So that would be within the term of the next.
Yes, it is. So this election is very, very critical. Very critical. Where was Jim Shrewsbury on redistricting? He was removing resources out of the African American community.
Enthusiastically, shamelessly. I mean, he had no shame.
Shamelessly
removing and now he's coming back and trying to make and with this racist push pull, telling people, you know, Louis Reed's black, right? You know he's black, right? You know that he would be the first black president of the Board of Aldermen. You know that, don't you?
He was shameful.
There you go.
His conduct was shameful.
That's
now
right.
He's coming to you saying, look, guys, I'm with you. As long as you don't ask for anything too substantive, I'm with you. Now, you know, I'll come to your church. I'll come to your Catholic church.
Ask after your daughter, but then I'll do your daughter. Okay?
You know,
I mean, that's just awful. It's just awful. That's going to have to be it. Irene J. Smith. I'll see you next
you
week.
Man, you can't even have a holiday.
I'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Stay with us.
Hey, get those blankets.
Get those blankets.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
dignity. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush on his way back to Washington after a meeting with the Iraqi Prime Minister a day later than planned after the short summit in Amman, Jordan. Mr. Bush said one thing still certain, victory is the only option.
If the Iraqis succeed in establishing a free nation in the heart of the Middle East, the forces of freedom and moderation across the region will be emboldened. And the cause of peace will have new energy and new allies.
The president also did a little relationship mending. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
One day after the White House acknowledged a memo critical of Prime Minister Maliki's leadership, President Bush tried repairing the relationship.
I appreciate his courage. You can't lead unless you have courage. And he's got courage, and he's shown courage over the last 6 months.
U.S. troops, he vowed, will continue to patrol against sectarian violence so long as the Maliki government wants the Americans in Iraq. Ann Compton, ABC News, with the president in Amman.
Not only will the president not set a timetable for U.S. troops to leave Iraq, neither apparently will the bipartisan Iraq study group.
The recommendations are unanimous and not specific when it comes to a timetable. They do reflect a general agreement that Iraqi forces should lead the charge for the nation of Iraq. But there was still support for leaving potentially tens of thousands of U.S. personnel on the ground for training and logistics.
ABC's Luis Schiavone in Washington. There's some wacky weather today across the country. Let's start out west where it is bone-chilling cold today in some places. In fact, that frigid weather continues right up into the plains. There are winter weather watches and advisories from Washington State to Oklahoma. But in the east today, it's quite a different story. It feels more like spring. The high today in New York City could hit a record 68 degrees. More women are going to the big house. In fact, the Justice Department says the female prison population is growing faster than that of males. The feds also say that one out of every two adults was in the system last year. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm shopping for gifts at the Home Depot.
Top three reasons the Home Depot is my holiday decorating headquarters. Number three, they have everything to create an instant winter wonderland. Number two, the prices are cause for celebration. And number one, I'm in, I'm out, I'm decorating.
In one stop, the Home Depot can help turn your home into a showplace with our exclusive new Holiday Home Accents Collection. From trees to stockings and all the trimmings inside and out, it's time to get festive at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
was the days around Christmas when all through the land, motorists were rejoicing. Happy Honda Days was at hand. All of the trucks were displayed in the showroom with care. The Ridgeline, the Pilot, the Element, even the all-new CR-V was there. Away to the Ridgeline, I flew like a flash. Spotting the price tag, I knew they would slash. My dealer exclaimed as I drove out of sight, Happy Honda Days to all, and to all, a good night.
Celebrate the great deals at your Honda dealer today.
See Steerter Bryant as a story. This time it was Chicago, and he didn't look like Santa. Businessman Larry Stewart from Missouri was wearing white overalls and a red turtleneck as he handed out $100 bills to strangers. One woman said the money was a blessing and said she planned to spend it on her daughter. A man who said he didn't need the money promised to pass it on to someone who did. Stewart recently revealed he's been handing out holiday cash to strangers for 26 years. The 58-year-old millionaire has cancer and came forward hoping his story would inspire others. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Now, if you ask Rosie O'Donnell, Britney Spears is in need of a little structure in her life. The co-host of ABC TV's The View says the singer, who recently split from her husband, Kevin Federline, needs to pack up her bags and both the kids and move in with O'Donnell, her partner Kelly, and their children. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a deadly fire at the University of Missouri-St. Louis remains under investigation. UMSL spokesperson Bob Sample says yesterday's fire at the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity house that killed 25-year-old Brian Schlittler is a real tragedy. Schlittler was a senior at UMSL and was majoring in secondary education in history. Sample says he was well-liked on campus. Counselors are on hand to help students and faculty deal with the death of Schlittler. A memorial service was held last night on the UMSL campus. Today's winter weather forecast has the Missouri Highway Patrol urging motorists to take it easy on the roadways. Sergeant Dal Notham explains the best way to handle tailgaters.
If you're in a two-lane highway and you can get over, just put your blinker on and get over when it's safe. Maybe if this guy is persistent, get off on the next exit and then get back on. Just get him out of your way, and hopefully you won't have someone behind you doing that again.
The National Weather Service is calling for freezing rain and snow today into tomorrow. Finally this hour, a St. Louis area man is charged with impersonating a Marine. 48-year-old Michael Weilbacher was arrested yesterday on charges of wearing military medals that he hadn't earned. Authorities say Weilbacher attended the Marine Corps Ball in St. Louis County on Veterans Day, wearing the Navy Cross and other medals, but he'd never been awarded the Navy Cross and had never even served in the Marines. Weilbacher faces up to 6 months in prison if convicted. He's free on bond and will appear in court next week. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's instant tickets. 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Sears Auto Centers. Eastbound 40 at McKnight and Brentwood, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked. Traffic slowing as you make your way out of Chesterfield Valley. Eastbound 70 on the ramp to Kings Highway. Disabled tractor trailer partially blocking traffic lane. Southbound 270 at Ladue and 40. Look for an accident reported. Eastbound 70 at Lake St. Louis all the way to Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Look for slow delays. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge through Lindbergh, it is slow. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Marshall Road. Look for big delays there. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into New Florissant. Expect delays coming in out of Illinois. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and River de Pere is slow. Northbound 55 at Bayless through Poplar Street Bridge. Very slow in pockets. Southbound 170 at 270 and 70. Stop and go traffic. Southbound 55 from Poplar Street through 44. Look for delays. In fact, westbound 40 at Ballas and Broomstick. Look for delays there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow moving into Laquedes Landing and westbound 5570 from 203 into the PSB. Look for delays westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and 5570. Look for delays. It's raining outside. We have freezing rain, some sleet and snow, and it's just going to be miserable drive. So give yourself some time and use caution and slow down. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears Auto Center. Give yourself the gift of tires right now. Get the lowest price on the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Tire Auto Centers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends on Christmas Eve, 12/24/06. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, a winter storm warning is in effect until 9 a.m. this Friday. Otherwise, blustery, much colder, showers and thunderstorms early this morning and freezing rain late in the morning and afternoon. Rain late in the morning. Ice accumulation is expected about a quarter of an inch or so. High will be in the mid-30s, but it's dropping to the 20s by the afternoon. This evening, colder, blustery, freezing rain in the evening, sleet through the night, and snow late in the evening and overnight. Snow accumulations of around 6 to 8 inches. Ice accumulations of less than a quarter of an inch are expected. The low will be around 20. Then on Friday, windy, mostly cloudy, with 40% chance of snow in the morning, then partly cloudy throughout the day, with a high around 30. Currently, we have the freezing mark, 32 degrees. It's raining and drizzle out right now. Lambert Fields reporting rain and freezing rain and 32. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 22. If you're going out, bundle up, give yourself plenty of time, and try to stay warm. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your weather and your traffic at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Justice for Reggie, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, Welcome, welcome, welcome to Thursday at 8 o'clock. That means it's Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Good morning, and I am here with, of course, Jamala Rogers, the campaign coordinator for the Justice for Reggie campaign. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you on this dreary, ugly day?
I'm good. I'm better than I was last week, so I'm very pleased to be here. what I'd like to do, Jamala, before we get to our guest, is to give people some contact information and a little bit of background about Justice for Reggie Thursday.
Justice for Reggie Thursday is about looking at the case of Reggie Clemens in the context of the Chain of Rocks Bridge murders, and also in context of the criminal justice system and the death penalty system that have sucked him in and sucked many other young brothers and sisters like him. And this is a case that spans over 15 years when Reggie was a teen and ended up getting caught up in a situation where him and friends were hanging out on the Chain of Rocks Bridge, and as well as another white group of folks who were related, hanging out, and Julie and Carrie, Robin and Julie Carrie were allegedly murdered and thrown off the bridge. And initially, Tom Cummins, the cousin of the girls, confessed to the murder, was subsequently charged. And lo and behold, a flashlight belonging to Reggie's group of friends was found. And in the, you know, twinkle of an eye, they became prime suspects and eventually were all arrested, convicted, you know, beaten to confessing, and were put on death row. And we have unfortunately lost one of the co-defendants in the case, and that is Marlon Gray, who was executed last October, and we've been fighting for the life of Reggie Clemens ever since.
And we have an author joining us today, author of Back from the Dead, Joan Cheever. She's going to be joining us from Texas to talk about the fact that right before, in the 1970s, the death penalty was eliminated, abolished, due to the Furman case. And as a result of that, more than 500 convicted killers were set free, were spared. We need to talk about what happened to those 500. And Joan Cheever is going to do that because she, decades afterwards, met and talked to these men. Joan Cheever, author of Back from the Dead, will be joining us when we return. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen, letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. But it only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move, one day the engineer wanted a bite to eat. He let the monkey sit in the...
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House.
We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers, as always. And today we are going to have a conversation with the author of the book Back from the Dead, Joan Cheever. She's joining us from South Texas. Joan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Very good. Joan, you have written that, or you've been quoted as saying that the class of 72, as you call them, the more than 500 convicted killers that were spared as a result of the Furman case, remains the largest unexamined social experiment in U.S. criminal justice history. What do you mean by that?
Well, these were dead men. They were walking, and now they're talking. And this is a group of individuals who were on death row as of June 29, 1972, when the United States Supreme Court abolished the death penalty in Furman. And at that time, everybody who was on death row was taken off death row. Their sentences were commuted to life. And since that time, 322 have been released from prison. And so my book is about my journey to find them and their journey, what's been happening since they were released, and how they're doing on the outside in the free world.
And in fact, the decision in Furman, I thought was very interesting. It said that the death row inmates were entitled to either new sentences of life, to a term of year, or in some cases, new trials. So all of them had the potential of getting out of jail.
Right. Unless they were in a state where a life sentence meant that the only way you were going to get out was in a pine box.
So a life without.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can we talk about some of these men that you met with? And how did you come to make this decision to go and to meet and talk with these men?
Well, I took on a volunteer case in 1985. I was not practicing law, but I helped out a friend with a case. He needed some help, even though I am a lawyer, but I really went to law school to be a better journalist. And so I took on the case of Walter Williams, who had killed a convenience store clerk during a botched robbery. My friend told me it would be 6 months tops. The case was filled with ineffective assistance of counsel, no objections, no sentencing hearing, basically. It turned into 9 years, and on October 5th, 1994, I found myself in the death house in Texas, standing 5 feet away watching an execution. So I returned to my job as managing editor of the National Law Journal a couple days later and was really devastated and shocked by what I had seen, because I always believed that Walter would have walked off death row and into the general prison population, eventually had been paroled. He had no prior prison record, and he had turned down a plea bargain. So during the next 2 years, I thought, what can I do? I just know that he would have done well. And so then it hit me a couple years later, I need to find the Walters out there, the ones that did get a second chance to live. Where are they? Who are they? And that's when I stumbled across the class of 72, the Furman group.
And did you have any expectations going into it? Did you think that there was going to be a certain type of person that you found when you talked to these men?
No, I knew I kind of had an inkling that they did well, but I wasn't sure. So I got the list, put the list together. You know, it took 18 months just to get the list, you know, this was the day before computers. And so went back and forth with 30 states in the District of Columbia to find out who was on death row at that time. And then ended up writing a letter, wrote three letters, set up a toll-free number in a post office box, and told them, you know, my experience with Walter and what I, you know, was wanting to find out what they were doing and how they were doing. And all of a sudden the calls started coming in and the letters started coming in to tell me that they, how they were doing very well.
Talk to us about Calvin Sellers.
Calvin was one of this group of 587 men and two women who were on death row across death rows across the country. Calvin was one of four armed robbers. You could get the death penalty in Texas for armed robbery without a murder. Also in this group, you could get the death penalty for rape without a murder. And Calvin was one of the, he was convicted of armed robbery. There was a coerced confession. He spent his time in his cell crammed with law books and turned out to be, as other lawyers and Professor Charles Allen Wright has said, one of the most brilliant legal minds in U.S. history. He ended up being a expert on the writ of habeas corpus and was able to get out of prison based on evidence of coerced confession and that he wasn't even at the scene of the crime.
But it's interesting where the evidence came from. The shocking part was where the evidence came from.
Yeah, from the mouth of the police officer who got on the witness stand and said, you know, that he had used coercion. And so it was a sparring match between the two police officers who were brought into court, you know, years after, 15 years after, to talk about how they got the confession out of Calvin.
Did you find it interesting about Calvin that he said that he never envisioned his own death because the U.S. Constitution prohibits the execution of the of an innocent man? Isn't that an interesting statement? It almost seems like that someone like Calvin shouldn't have any faith in the system at all, given how he got to, he was an innocent man on death row.
Right. Well, I was not shocked to hear that from Calvin because I think I believe that. That's what kept me going with Walter's case, that there was it was such a terrible trial. I mean, there was no trial, basically, no sentencing hearing. So I kind of believed how Calvin did, extremely naive, that you know, the criminal justice system would work. And I mean, this was a long time ago, and once you get into the courthouse, I found many of these men said, you know, we just wanted to get into the courthouse, courtroom, where justice would prevail and the truth would come out. And so that was kind of a continuing theme with a lot of these men. Just felt like if they could just get in there and plead their case to a jury, the jury would see see the lies and see the innocence. But once once you get into the system, you don't have any control, and justice doesn't prevail. So Calvin, his inner spirit, his feeling that, of course, the United States Constitution could not put an innocent man to death, was really what kept him going and kept him looking at the law books and reading and knowing everything about the Constitution and the writ of habeas corpus, which eventually freed him.
But he ended up going back in.
He did. He slipped, you know, and when people say that he was out on parole, and a lot of people say, oh, parole is an easy ride, it's, you know, nothing. But it's a short leash, and especially for this group of men, you know, one infraction and they're going to pull you right back. And it depends on your parole officer and the parole board. But and he ended up, you know, when he ended up pleading guilty to the parole violation.
But it's almost like he still had that naivete about the criminal justice system because his attorney said, take the two years.
Right.
And he thought, did he really think that because the judge was a born-again Christian that he was going to go and he had discovered and Calvin had discovered the Bible, did he really believe that the judge was going to do something less than the 2 years as attorney?
No, I think he knew that the judge was going to give him the max. I mean, Calvin knew that he was guilty of possessing a firearm, and so, he, you know, if he did the crime, he should do the time. And so I don't think he, because anybody, you know, in their right mind would have taken the plea bargain because he would have had time served. But Calvin really believed that, you know, if he had, he did the crime and he acknowledged that. So he was going to let the judge decide what the sentence was going to be.
And it was 10 years.
It was 10 years, but he did serve too. You know, in Texas they have a thing that, you know, you can cut your time by two-thirds. For every good day, you get 2 days. And so he did serve a little bit over two. But he said it was, you know, he didn't even look at a law book. He looked at the Bible, and he, you know, got back to God, and he used that time reading and rereading the Bible and didn't pick up a law book during that time that he was in prison.
And have you talked to him since he's been out again?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen him a couple times. Actually, he came to the Texas Book Festival where I was one of the featured authors and then came to a book signing. So we keep in touch, you know, every week.
And insofar as the being part of the class of 72, he was an innocent man on death row out of the class of 72. Who else? Were there other innocent people on death row?
Right. There were a total of seven. I know there's many more. This was before the age of DNA, and there's no evidence now in these cases to preserve the test. But the two that I profile in the book, Wilbur Lee and Freddie Pitts.
And Freddie Pitts. Can we talk about them when we come back?
Sure.
I'm talking to the author of Back from the Dead, who's joining us from South Texas, Joan Cheever. My name is Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. We will be back after this break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Southbound 270 at Ladue and 40, look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. Westbound 40 at Hampton, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 70 at Lake St. Louis and Mid Rivers, look for delays in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge all the way through Lindbergh, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Marshall Road, expect slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway through Brentwood, expect slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into New Florissant, look for delays possible. Southbound 170 from Airport into the 70, look for stop and go. Southbound 55 from Poplar Street Bridge through 44, it looked for slow traffic. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Clayton, looked for slow. And then again from Ballast through Broomstick. Eastbound 40 from Hampton through Vandeventer, looked for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 from 270 all the way into Lindbergh, looked for delays. Southbound 270 from St. Charles Rock Road through Page, it is slow. Westbound 5570 onto the PSB, looked for delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow from the gravel pit into Midspan. And Page at Hanley, there's reported traffic lights working on red flash. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Expect delays this morning due to the inclement weather. Slow down, give yourself a break, and give yourself plenty of time to get to work. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery instant tickets. 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, a winter storm warning is in effect until 9 a.m. of Friday. Otherwise, much colder, blustery today. Showers and thunderstorms early this morning and freezing rain late this morning and early afternoon. And ice accumulation is expected to be about a quarter of an inch or so. The highs will be in the mid-30s, but they will be falling into the 20s by this afternoon. For this evening, colder, blustery, freezing rain in the evening, sleet throughout the night. And occasional snow late in the evening and overnight. Snow accumulations are expected around 6 to 8 inches, and ice accumulations are expected to be less than a quarter of an inch. but the low will be around 20 degrees. For Friday, mostly cloudy, windy, a 40% chance of snow in the morning, then partly cloudy throughout the day with a high only around 30. Currently, we have 33 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 34. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 24. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920. WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates, weekday mornings, 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. We're talking to the author of Back from the Dead, Joan Cheever. She has written about the class of 72, the more than 500 folks that were on death row and were removed from death row as a result of the Furman, the Supreme Court Furman case. Welcome back, Joan.
Thank you.
Talk to us about some more innocents on death row. Freddie Pitts and Wilbert Lee?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They were on death row in Florida in 1963 for a murder of two convenience store clerks, two white clerks at a gas station, actually. And, you know, again, the confession was beaten out of them. They did confess to the crime. You know, Mr. Pitts told me we were just grateful to get by the lynching tree and get to the courthouse where all of this would be sorted out.
And before you get to go any further, Joan, I would like to just kind of remind people of the time that what was happening at the time that these men were accused of this crime. And these were in the days of black-only, white-only bathrooms.
Right.
And these were this was in the heavily or actually segregated Florida, the South.
Right.
Okay.
South. And at this, you know, they, from their prison, from death row, they were listening to Martin Luther King's speech, "I Have a Dream."
Mm-hmm.
So that's the scene. It was Port St. Joe, Florida. They confessed to the murder of the two clerks, and you know, within a couple weeks, put to trial, and got the death sentence. The, you know, basically with the only thing that their lawyer said, asking for mercy for the court and the final arguments are, please don't execute them. They look at them, they're, you know, strong black men. They'd be an asset to the prison chain gang.
And that was the argument in favor of keeping them alive.
Right. Right.
And the story of Pitts and Lee is goes beyond the fact that they were removed from death row.
Right. They were on death row. They were sitting on death row when another individual, a white man, Curtis Boo Adams, had told the police, the sheriff's deputies, that he was the one that committed the crime, and he gave details that nobody else would have known. But the when this was brought to the attention of the lead investigator, he said, "I don't want to hear it." And you know, this is a quote: "I already have my knickers on death row. I'm not looking at any further." And so they stayed in prison. You know, a lot of individuals knew that they were innocent, but they kept them on death row in prison, and they were finally released in 1974.
And as a result of the story that got them out, there was a Pulitzer Prize involved.
Right. It was Gene Miller from the Miami Herald who just went after this case and kept getting more information and lots of evidence of innocence and polygraph, you know, detectors, lie detectors, and it was the one that really secured their freedom and saved their lives.
And it, what that the battle to get off of death row was not the only battle that these men fought. Didn't they try to fight? Weren't they having to put the same type of energy into the fight to pay them for the wrong that was done against them?
That's what's so incredible, that even after the state of Florida acknowledged that they had illegally incarcerated them for so long, with full knowledge that they were not the men who committed the murder, they had to fight for 30 years to get compensated.
30 years?
Yeah, by the state of Florida.
And the sentence or two in your book that talks about their response when they got the, when they got payment for that compensation from the state of Florida. Can you share that story with us?
Well, I wasn't there when it happened, but the news reports, and they, you know, were handed the check, and they looked at it. And
it was for $500,000.
$500,000 and put it in their pocket. I did see one clip of Wilbert Lee, and he broke down crying.
But the interesting piece from what I read about it was is that each of them, their response was identical, that they just looked at it, folded the paper, piece of paper, the check, tucked it in their pocket. They didn't scream. They didn't jump up in joy.
I think they just checked to see that it was $500,000, and there really was a check signed by the treasurer of the state of Florida. And
but how do you respond in joy to that? I mean, because I mean,
you can't. I mean, the state of Florida took away such a large chunk of their life, and then what I can't believe is so incredible that Wilbert Lee, you know, his first job out of when he was released, he went right back into the prison to be a counselor for youthful offenders. That's what really shocked me. I mean, I would get as far away as I could from a prison setting.
And not only did he go back into the prison system and become a counselor for youth offenders, but he also received an award.
Right. He was the counselor of the year. He was, you know, he's just a gentle soul, incredibly effective. The kids listen to him, and he, you know, both of these men have such a positive feeling. I mean, there is some bitterness, but, you know, it doesn't let them, it doesn't get them down. It doesn't stop them. They continue to get up every morning and work and you know, give to their community.
When you talk to these members of the class of 72, did they all seem to have that type of attitude, or was that the majority of the attitude of the people that you talked to?
The majority of them do. They realize that everyone that I talked to, that I interviewed, were remorseful about the crime that landed them on death row. And they also knew that while they could not give back the life that they took, they could give back in other ways. So they're active in their churches, or when their parole officer calls them and says, Johnny Smith down the street is going down the same path that you did, you know, getting involved with gangs and drugs and alcohol. Will you, you know, can I send him over? Will you talk to him? And so they give back that way also to counsel other kids that are, you know, going down the bad path.
And, Joan, were there any particular cases from Missouri that you can share with us?
Well, in Missouri, not in particular. There were 16 men on Missouri's death row, and 11 were paroled, and 5 returned to prison briefly. 4 out of 5 returned to prison briefly for minor technical offenses, and the ones that have stayed out have done very well.
Out of the 588 members of the class of 72, how many have gone back to prison, and how many of them have gone back to death row?
Of the 587 men and 2 women, 322 were released on parole or because they served their time. 111 returned to prison. Most of those were just for brief periods of time for parole violations, about 75. 32 committed more serious aggravated felonies, and 5 out of the 322 did kill again. The 4 out of 5, while every murder is terrible, and the 4 out of 5 were involved in drug deals gone bad, or, you know, crack cocaine-induced killings. The one that everybody, you know, is totally freaked out about is a guy named Kenneth Allen McDuff, who was from Texas, who was a serial killer in the 60s. They ended up releasing him, and, you know, serial killer in the 60s turned out to be a serial killer in the 90s. He had been up for parole 17 times and denied. And then Texas was faced with an overcrowding lawsuit. Now, I'm not sure why they didn't just release burglars instead of a serial killer, but they did, and 2 days after he was released, bodies of women started showing up. And the Texas Rangers knew exactly who it was.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Joan Cheever. She's the author of the book Back from the Dead, a book that talks to the class of 72, the 588 men and 2 women that were whose lives were spared as a result of the Furman decision that determined that the death penalty was cruel and unusual punishment. My name is Liz Brown. I am also here with Jamala Rogers. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right, where else, but Sears at 3425 Union. It's the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. What does that mean? That means that you can get great deals on DVD players, on big-screen televisions, on washers, on dryers, on dishwashers, on treadmills, on tools, everything that your little heart desires, everything that your little home needs. Get on down to 3425 Union. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline London. A radioactive substance has been found on 2 British Airways jets. The airline says 3 Boeing 767s have been taken out of service after the British government identified them as part of an investigation into the death of a former KGB agent. Initial tests showed very low levels of a radioactive substance on 2 of the planes. British Airways says it has no reason to believe there's a public health risk, but is trying to contact passengers who recently traveled on the planes. The jets involved flew between London and several European cities, including Moscow. There are no U.S. cities on the list. Dateline Istanbul.
Pope Benedict has mended fences with Muslims in Turkey and is now turning his efforts toward improving ties between Catholics and Orthodox Christians. Benedict and the spiritual head of the Orthodox Church say they want to help heal the rift between the two religions. Orthodox Christian Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew has a meeting with the pontiff at an airport. Yesterday, Benedict made amends with Muslims by saying Islam is a peaceful faith. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And before we get back to our guest, Joan Cheever, I want to thank one of our sponsors for Justice for Reggie, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. We appreciate the financial support that you've given to this show. It's very important to help keep this show on the air. So Church of God in Christ and Bishop Ward, we appreciate you and thank you for your financial support for Justice for Reggie. And Jamala, you had a question or observation that you wanted to make.
Well, as I was listening to Joan, I thought about the fact that her book and her stories confirm the fact that we have executed innocent people. And once you have a system that she's described and that we've talked about numerous times on this show, the likelihood of you executing someone that's innocent becomes real and almost inevitable. And so what were some of the other kinds of social implications that you uncovered, Joan, as you were listening to the stories and actually comparing what could have happened or what would have happened, should have happened to these men and to women?
Well, some came within hours of being executed. Pitts and Lee are a prime example. And if not for Gene Miller, the journalist from the Miami Herald, they would have been. But I think what was not surprising to me, because I really felt by knowing Walter that and going to Texas death row so often, that this country really doesn't know who's on death row. They really believe that it's the worst of the worst, and it's the serial killers, and that's not who's on death row. And I think what the most wonderful news about this book is that these were people that we as a society said we had to kill because they would kill again, and they didn't, and they got out, and they've had successful lives, and they've been on the straight and narrow and done very well. And so rehabilitation is possible, and who you are at 19 is not who you are at 49.
And then some of the people there weren't even guilty of anything, so.
And some weren't guilty of anything.
And what about the women, Joan? Were there issues that were unique to the women that were on death row? Did they get out of jail? Were they able to live lives outside of jail?
No, the two women have never been released. One's in Pennsylvania and the other one is in Florida. And I think because, and 164 in this group have never been released. And for various reasons, depends on the state where they're in, or it could be that their history, their disciplinary history inside is not good, or the crimes that landed them there are so notorious that they'll never get out. So the two women have not ever gotten out. One of the women who is in Pennsylvania was kind of the Bonnie of a Bonnie and Clyde, you know, crime spree. And, you know, timing is everything. And she ended up actually pleading guilty and got a death sentence. And she did so 1 week before Furman. So had she waited a week, her whole life would have changed.
Mm.
And that's really tragic because I think she has done well inside. But she's not going to get out.
In terms of the death penalty, did you ask the any of the class of 72 what their position on the death penalty is?
Yeah, I did. Most of them were against it, and that's why they chose to speak out and put their face on the death penalty, which I thought was extremely courageous, because they wanted to show America what they were doing and that they were capable of rehabilitation. There were some that said that they were very much in favor, just a minority, very much in favor of the death penalty. You know, I got a couple letters, Joan, if you knew who I knew, you'd be in favor of the death penalty also. But that was the minority. Most of them believed that they knew the guys who they served time with, and they knew that they were capable of rehabilitation. And as Sister Helen Prejean says, you know, your whole life should not be reduced to your one worst, most horrible act. And so they, for the most part, they were opposed to the death penalty.
You made the statement a few minutes ago that maybe it was Jamal and I talking about it, that the fact that these people, this class of 72, didn't behave, didn't act as a society would have expected them to have acted. They didn't go out and murder again and kill and be a burden upon society. Now that we know that, have you gotten response to your book about that? Are there people that challenge that, or are there people that are using this and embracing this as an argument against the death penalty, an argument against incarceration, life without?
Yes, it is being embraced as the example that it's impossible to predict future dangerousness for most people. Put aside the ones that are serial killers and the truly, you know, sociopaths, put those aside. But the majority, what it's showing is that, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen to somebody or that they will get out and kill again. I mean, the good news, I think, in this study, in this book, is that I don't make the case for abolition. The class of 72, by their example, by what they've done, with their lives in the free world, show that rehabilitation is possible, that they are not the worst of the worst, and they did not get out and kill again. So this group, going back 33 years of, you know, 33 years of prison and parole data, shows that people can be rehabilitated, and we're putting, people on death row are not the worst of the worst.
Have you taken the time to calculate what it would have cost, the financial cost to society, had all 588 of these people had been executed? What would the cost have been?
Well, my math is not very good. That's why I went into journalism.
I understand, and that's why you practice law, too. I know that because I'm a lawyer, so I know my math is not
that. I got away from the practice of law. I didn't want to do that. Respected journalism, but I guess if you took 589 and calculated it, by 3.2 million, that's probably the lowest in the average. I mean, it's to incarcerate an individual for life without parole is between $650,000 and $800,000, and to impose a death sentence and put someone on death row and eventually execute them, it's, you know, between 3.2 million and I think I've seen a figure in New Jersey that can as high as $25 million apiece.
Mm.
So, you know, really, I mean, from dollars and cents, and I just got this question at one of the forums I was speaking at, and she said, well, you know, Joan, how can we tell these law and order politicians, you know, be against the death penalty and still be law and order? I said, of course you can be law and order, but you need to also get smart. And what's the matter with these guys? Do they not know how to balance a checkbook? I mean, you know, look, $650,000 versus $3.2 million. Let's take that money and put it on the front end and help these children so that we don't use all this money at the end of their lives, but at the beginning of their lives with after-school programs and mentoring and church groups and everything else. And financially, it just makes a whole lot of sense, and that really resonates with many businessmen and women when you talk about the money.
But also, shouldn't it just, no politician should simply be law and order. There should be law, order, and justice.
Justice, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
That's the missing component.
And they should be taken to task that you know, we vote for them, you know, and they're supposed to uphold the law. And so they can talk trash as much as they want about being tough on a crime, but if they're not doing their job, they need to get the boot and get out of office. There's been 123 people who've been released from death row based on innocence, and that is 123 too many.
And what law and order person campaigns, and I'm going to make certain that there are no innocent people on death row or incarcerated, and how can that ever be law and order?
And that would be the day. But I want to remind people before we leave that you can hear Joan and see her in the flesh next Wednesday at 7 p.m. St. Louis University, McDonnell Douglas Hall, room 1075. And the Campaign for Reggie Clemens is a proud sponsor of this event. So if people want more information, they can call us at 367-5959.
Very good. Joan Cheever, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I heard the weather, so I better bring my coat and mittens.
And perhaps some ice cleats as well.
That's right. I don't want to skate around.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting that book and reading all of the stories from the men and women of class of 72.
Absolutely. And can I extend an offer for the Justice for Reggie campaign to participate in our blanket drive as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very good. I will see you same time, same place next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'll be
all
back.
Right.
Stay with us, folks.
Have a great day.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The calendar says November 30th. It feels more like mid-January, though, today in a lot of the West. Meteorologist Lloyd Lindsay Young with ABC radio affiliate KGO in San Francisco weighs in on this bone-chilling cold.
Washington and Oregon State, normally where it's balmy, over snow-covered ground, temperatures will fall to 10 to 15 above zero, and in Montana and Wyoming, it is completely off the chart. Low temperatures at 20 to 30 below zero, and of course the official start of winter is still at least 3 weeks away.
It feels more like May across the East Coast. The high today in Washington, D.C. and New York City should be near 70. You're probably not complaining too much that the forecasters were wrong about the 2006 hurricane season. It's over today. Remember, it was supposed to be bad.
Forecaster Jerry Bell says El Nino formed much faster than forecasters at the National Hurricane Center expected, making this a relatively quiet hurricane season. Only 9 named storms and 5 hurricanes.
Fortunately for the United States, the hurricanes that did form mainly stayed well out to sea, so we've got a much needed break from a lot of hurricane activity.
Last year, a record 27 named storms.